Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Hello to you, beloved listener of Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM, and thanks for tuning in. Yours truly is Nimrod Mbele, and once again, thank you for allowing me to be part of your space. As always, we have a packed show that will certainly illuminate some governance and management insight from the lens of our esteemed guests, which I believe will make a positive difference in sharpening your perspectives. The year is finally over. Believe it or not, we are literally left with less than 4 weeks before most companies wind down and gearing for 2024. I suppose for entrepreneurs, this is an opportunity to sharpen in the business acumen by working even harder in preparation for 2024. We know that entrepreneurs do not enjoy the luxuries of salaries. But however, when things turn out for entrepreneurs, it's always marvelous. It's always beautiful and so fulfilling. Talking of the entrepreneurship, it is actually a serious matter in South Africa, especially when looking at unemployment rate, which is sitting at about 39 or 40%. This picture looks even bleaker when you're looking at unemployment rates among the youth, which is estimated at more than 60%. You know, to put this issue in context, I attended the awards being led by Chartered Governance Institute of Southern Africa last week. This was the awards for best performing companies in the context of integrated reporting. They had invited Casca Vedia, who is the CEO of Business Unity South Africa, as the keynote speaker. You know, three things stood out for me when Cas ascended to the stage and giving his keynote address. It is very clear, one is that business can no longer sit on the fence, given what is at stake in the country. Secondly, we have literally, as a country, sitting on economic precipice, which is something that he constantly raised. And the other issue that he had brought that really stood out for me is the fact that we often boast by saying Sandton is the richest square kilometer in the continent. And we forget to mention that just across the road, literally a stone throw from where Sandton is, we've got Alexander, which is the poorest township. That stark reality in this country was felt in that particular room where people literally, there was almost like motionless at some point, because clearly majority of people can't just shut off and pretend as if these stark realities are not concerning. They are certainly concerning. The other issue that he also raised, this is Casca Vedia, as I'm reflecting on his keynote address and that particular conference, is that there isn't much of an issue about the South African economic setup. There is so much. The problem is with our body politic. And be that as it may, you just cannot say there's nothing wrong with the South African economic setup when we know that there are a whole lot of issues. For an example, the state capture has put it to bear issues that private sector organizations have had the role to play in literally messing up the economy, as it were. But it was a good thing that he was able to acknowledge that you know, a part of the refinement of King report is to see how you could institute penalties against companies that are members of BUSA. And I think it was just astonishing that we sort of appreciate the challenges that the country is experiencing, and business is gradually putting its mouth, or its money where its mouth is, in terms of trying to steer the ship away from the cliff that we've been confronted with. One of the issues that I want to you know, reflect on very briefly is the whole issue of Palapala. We know that, or we've heard last week, that the president has confirmed that should the president be found guilty in the robbery scandal, he will gladly step down. This raised a whole lot of questions around what will happen to the state capture report. Will the follow-up be done with the rigor and vigor which it deserves. Who is going to lead the party or the movement or the ANC more specifically? To what extent, you know, the issues of economic emancipation or economic drive will be on the agenda? But we have literally not seen much leadership. That is a reality. The economy is not growing. You know, most people have thought that the Truman Mina campaign would deliver us from, you know, economic quagmire, but clearly it's not. It's not happening. And we'll just put that aside and hope for the best that, you know, whoever's going to send to the position of power will take the country in his or her own confidence. We will put the country first before the party. The other issue that I want to raise, which is linked to, you know, the party that it is in question. We've heard that, you know, through the Minister of Transport, Fikile Mbalula, that yet again, PRASA is found in the mix. He made announcement, if I'm not mistaken, yesterday, that there were about 1,400 employees working at PRASA who couldn't be verified. My goodness, 1,400 employees who could not be verified. Elsewhere, you know, well, I suppose, maybe put it this way. The question in anyone's mind is, how long were these ghost employees in the employ of PRASA? At what cost? Because these are the issues that I would have wanted to hear the minister saying, based on our findings, so many people were in the employ of PRASA at so much. And most importantly, what are you going to do about it? For me, this is very simple. It's a governance matter. One is that the board is the custodian of what happens at PRASA, including employing the cleaner at that low level. The board has interest. The board must take those issues very seriously. What's going to happen with the board? One. And what's going to happen to the HR director? And what is going to happen to the HR and remuneration committee chairperson of the board? Because these are issues which sit in those pockets. I mean, it's very shocking. It is shocking and simply embarrassing. Or have you become so desensitized as South Africans that we just shrug our shoulders and simply move on? I think we can't just move on. We demand answers. You know, we deserve the best. And elsewhere, the Minister of Transport, these things happening under his or her nose would have been forced to resign. But elsewhere, this is South Africa. People are still here. We have had so many instances where, you know, ministers still remain irrespective of the kind of shenanigans that were implicated in. But anyway, that's the, and by the way, issue. I just wanted to quickly reflect on that. On that exasperating note, I implore you to visit our website, which is www.highfm.com. Download any of the podcasts and share your views with us through our social media. Our SMS line is 34519. The telegram is, of course, is 061-895-1019. And your thoughts and views are most welcome via my Twitter handle, which is at Merlin Nimrod. Before we start the show, it is important that we acknowledge the producer of the show, Vusi Masinga, whose technical competencies is beyond reproach. Vusi, thank you very much for wonderful work that you are doing. Moving along, getting to the gist of today's conversation, it is very interesting to see the return of normality, if you like, thanks to the end of COVID restriction. We have seen the resumption of big events, which the country had become so accustomed to before COVID-19. And I'm sure everyone welcomed the developments, wherein big events, indeed a blessing to our shores. You know, once again, sectors such as travel and hospitalities would thrive under these circumstances when such big events are being launched. These events at any given time provide huge job opportunities that are so desperately needed by our people. Talking of big events, there is China Home Live Merchandise Trade Show, which returns to South Africa after a two-year break thanks to COVID. It is entering its sixth edition of Africa's largest China sourcing event, which is taking place at Galaga Convention Center on the 15th to the 17th November. In making sense of this pretty much glorious event, I'm joined by Sakima Pabela, who is a CEO at Papasha Media, a local media partner. Saki, once again, thank you very much for coming through. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nimrod. Thank you so much, man, for this wonderful opportunity to speak to you and your listeners.
No, the pleasure is mine, Saki. There's been long that you and I and have had this opportunity engaging. I mean, I've known you, what, for 15 years or so, and it had to take this event to rekindle. What do you make of that?
Yeah, no, certainly. You know, we've known each other for a long time, and I appreciate, you know, having to engage in these healthy discussions with you and to see how we can contribute, you know, in changing the atmosphere of our country, as it were.
Absolutely. Take us through this, the sixth edition of Africa's largest China, so the Africa's largest trade in a country, as it were.
Yeah, so this event is actually called China Home Life and Machine Expo. So essentially, Nimrod, it's a trade fair, you know. So we bring together Chinese businesses that come down to the country to present different solutions in terms of products as well as machinery. So the idea really behind this is to sort of bridge the gap that exists between the discussions that take place at government level and business to business. So we sort of bring it closer to get businesses to interact with each other. And the beauty about this is that it actually contributes to the whole narrative of beneficiation and manufacturing in the country. Because remember, for South Africans to be able to manufacture on their own, they still need to have the right machinery to be able to produce within the country. So this is one of the things that I really like about this event, because the Chinese are quite advanced in terms of the machinery and the equipment that is used to produce different products. And this is what our South Africans get to see at the event. And of course, there are different products from different industries. You know, I mean, you can think of any industry really, from the built environment all the way to beauty, cosmetics, electronics. You know, so they come, they bring samples down to South Africa, and they get to present these and start conversations with local businesses, entrepreneurs. You know, so I'm just summarizing the nature of the event at this point.
No, that's quite useful to hear. It is clear that it's quite a huge venture, but you know, in terms of the breakdown, is the thought process of having Chinese obviously selling their products, or part of the conversation is how South African can partner with the Chinese companies to establish those businesses in the country? How far are we, or is that a consideration? If it's not, why not?
So it certainly is a consideration, and not just a consideration, but what happens on the ground. Because remember, the nature of the different conversations that get to take place at the event is really at business level. So for instance, you might find that there's a company in China that produces certain products, and of course they want to partner with a South African company that can set up possibly a factory in the country, or even in some instances, resell some of the products. So we don't really limit the conversations and the nature of the deals that the companies make. So they decide on their own. But of course, the idea is to encourage a fair and a rather more collaborative approach to make sure that there's mutual benefit, you know, from both ends. So you don't find a situation where only one country benefits. Because remember that this is also in the spirit of the bilateral agreements between South Africa and China. So there must be mutual benefit. So we encourage that kind of a narrative. Even when we speak to our own businesses here in the country, we tell them that, look, it must not just be a question of you buying only, but you must sort of establish if you can take it to the next level, you know, in the sense that you manufacture on your own, you buy the machinery, you learn from Chinese. I mean, we cannot dispute the fact that China is one of the countries that have been leading in terms of innovation and technology, and in terms of production as well, and productivity. So we can only learn as South African businesses, you know, from this giant, you know, which is China. So that's the view that we take as organizers of the event. And also me being a South African, I really try by all means to protect the interest of South Africans.
On that South African note, which I want to applaud you on, we know that at the face value, there's not much competition because China, as you've correctly pointed out, it is a superpower. And the relationship is almost skewed. South Africa buys pretty much everything. I mean, at some point, textile industry used to be a dominant income generating stream for South Africans. That has now gone to China. And it's not coming back anytime soon. So the question that I want to link this is with, from the state point of view, and to have state entities that are part of the conversation to ensure that where there is an interest of localizing some of the goods, product and services, we can plug in or bring in state institutions such as IDC, such as CIFA, because we know bringing in manufacturing muscle, there are a whole lot of financial implications that are laden. Take us through that process.
Yeah, so the nature of the event, Nimrod, is such that it's purely entrepreneurial and business, you know. So we don't really get to engage government directly in terms of getting involved in the process and in the development of the event, right? However, there is nothing that stops our own businesses when they see an opportunity to approach the likes of the DFIs, you know, as you correctly alluded to. They can definitely talk to the likes of the IDCs and the NEFs to just maybe to explain to them how they want to take the deals forward, you know, with the Chinese businesses. So in our discussions, though, it has come up recently that perhaps we should begin to get a way that encourages our businesses to approach the financiers, you know, maybe beforehand, before the event. But of course, we do this cautiously because we don't want it to look like possibly another like a government initiative per se. Hence, I'm saying that the spirit of the event is mainly entrepreneurial and based on business-to-business relations, you know. Otherwise, if we got involved too much in terms of government, we'd end up entering the space that would have otherwise be the domain of possibly your ministers and the diplomatic arrangements. So we take it down to just the conversations and the deals and the transactions, you know. And we've actually been able to invite a lot of buyers from different companies. We've also invited sourcing managers from supply chains and procurement departments of different companies, you know. Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's quite an involved event as well, you know. So there's only so much that one can do. Because imagine, I mean, to bring 450 Chinese businesses in the country, the logistics that are involved in the process, the preparations, the planning, you know, it's quite a lot of work.
It's quite involved. I couldn't agree with you more. On that note, we're going to have to pay our bills and come back just in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
We've weathered the unexpected. We've stepped into a new world. And now it is the time for our businesses to re-emerge. Sure-footed, clear-headed, and strategically on point. It is a time for greater certainty, for accurate, actionable market research and business intelligence to make effective, up-to-date decisions. South Africa, that is how we move our businesses and economy forward. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. I'm joined by Zaki Mabele, who is the CEO of Pashasha Media, a local partner with the Chinese Trade Center or Chinese Trade Show that is currently taking place or is about to take place from the 15th to the 17th November. Before we enter the break, Zaki is giving us very good insights. First and foremost, that the trade fair is business to business. They've sort of brought it down to, you know, ordinary folks, and they have managed to put together a cohort of about 450 Chinese businesses who are going to engage with their South African counterpart on issues of business. I mean, he mentioned that, you know, some of the trades involved or include your electronics, your beauty, your built environment. So it's quite an extensive fair. If South Africans were to take advantage of it, could really take us far in addressing some of the unemployment issues that we are experiencing. As a way of follow-up, Zaki, you did indicate that, you know, this is obviously pitched at entrepreneur level, of which I appreciate. So from South Africans, you know, do you have a relationship or have you invited or business associations like your SACIs, your small enterprise associate? Tell us through how you have sort of engaged the business community, or because that's quite key in understanding how the interface is going to take place.
Oh, yes. There are a number of organizations that we have engaged since we started the planning and the preparation of the event. I mean, we have spoken, for instance, to the Randburg Chamber of Commerce and Industry, who are already involved in the event in terms of inviting their own members to be part of the event. And also, we have a very healthy relationship with the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry, the Black Business Council as well. So we do have a number of organizations that support this initiative. For instance, we have been talking to the AIDC, which is an organization that deals with the automotive sector, you know, and they have well received our proposal to work with them and to get the Chinese businesses to speak with the local suppliers, you know. So there's a vast number of organizations that are already involved. There's another one called SAB2, which is also involved in our planning and involved in terms of their inviting their members to the event.
Well, that's quite fascinating to hear, because, you know, the best route to promote, you know, that kind of entrepreneurship is to invite associations, because through associations they can then extend the invitation or, you know, publicize this trade show to their members, who then come in and observe what kind of trade or what sort of product and services are on the show, engage with their Chinese counterpart with a view to make business, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, one of the things that I always preach is that if there's one thing that we can get from this event, is actually to get to learn how Chinese do business, man. You know, I think by far that's the greatest opportunity, you know, to get to see how they get to tap into different industries in various parts of the world. And I think if South Africa can adopt a similar approach, we would actually go far as a country, you know, in terms of not only getting your foreign direct investors, but also to promote South African products, you know, across the world. So for me, it's very important that we learn, you know, how Chinese do business so that we can be able to reach the same standards.
Interesting that you've raised that issue, how Chinese do business, because in it, there is that cultural nuance. Chinese have their own particular way of doing business. For an example, an issue of rapport building is quite critical, as opposed to perhaps maybe your Anglo-Saxon, you know, philosophy, wherein rapport, it isn't that much of an issue. So take us through that, because it is important to anybody who's listening to this show and say, what is that I can do and to learn more from Chinese in a matter of, I don't know, as long as I can engage with them? What are the biggest advice that you can perhaps maybe throw to listeners as they are engaging with the Chinese counterpart?
Look, for instance, one of the most important things is to understand the logistics, right? For instance, if you want to order in bulk from China, you know, what is involved in that process, you know, in terms of the times, you know, of the consignments, and how to move the goods, you know, from one country to another. You know, the costs that are involved, you know, the various laws that are involved in managing that process. So I think South Africans can learn a lot in that regard, so that we are able to therefore say, how do we begin to improve our own export fortunes, if you like, you know, and our own export acumen, if you like. So I think that's one thing that we can learn from China. The other part is how they get to deal with the issue of language, right? Because of course, I mean, Mandarin predominantly spoken in China. And how do you therefore begin to tap into markets that do business in different languages? For instance, the process of getting translators in business, you know, and still be able to conclude like massive deals, you know, although the languages are different. So that's one of the things that I think South Africans can learn. The other one is essentially technology, you know, the technology that is used. For instance, at the moment, China as well, so things are still a bit difficult. So part of it is highly hybrid, where you get to speak to the China businesses, business owners who have the knowledge, you know, through technology. So these are some of the things that we can learn. How do you begin to set up an event of this magnitude and still get to speak to all these people in different parts of the world as if they're in one room, you know? So I mean, I could go on and on, Nimrod, in terms of the many things that we can learn, you know. I mean, even the product, I mean, the products, there's always new products and how things are done differently, you know. The machinery, you know, most importantly, you know, for instance, I spoke to a lady today, in fact, yesterday, I spoke to a lady who said to me that they came looking for a company that can do packaging for them. And to their surprise, they actually found a company that sells machinery to do packaging. So this lady was saying, now I'm even thinking of doing my own packaging and sell this to other businesses. So this is what I mean when I say there's vast opportunity for us to learn at the same time do business.
Now, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, if you the space where you are engaging or interacting with, you know, sophisticated communities such as the Chinese, you can only learn better, or you can only improve your own thought processes in terms of how to do business. And I do like, you know, your narrative, or perhaps maybe insights on some of the things that South Africans can understand, or perhaps maybe try and learn. For an example, how to move goods from one entity to another, you know, what sort of laws that are involved, because it is not only Chinese who are doing business in South Africa, but also want South Africans to go and do a business in China, which is quite key. And also, how do you overcome language barriers? I mean, there are a lot of technologies out there. You know, you can trust, you know, you just words in English, somebody translates them in Chinese. So these are some of the barriers that we begin to chip that would encourage South Africans to go and partner with Chinese counterparts in China so that they could learn more or have a cost-effective ways of doing business. That's my take in that space.
Yeah, no, certainly, man. You know, in the same vein, it answers questions like, how do we begin to do business with the Germans? You know, how do we do business with Italy? You know, and many other countries, like, I mean, Korea, you know, and many other countries where they speak different languages. And how do we get to eliminate, or rather deal with those language barriers, as you say?
Absolutely. One critical issue that this kind of trade fair would be most beneficial, it is the Africa Free Trade Agreement, because that is also one big instrument in the continent, which, you know, this kind of engagement, but this will not be for Chinese products, but this would be for South African products or continental products. So it is also in the best interest of South Africans and Africans to participate in this a trade so that they can learn on how to, you know, leverage on the Intercontinental Free Trade Agreement, which you know, trying to position the continent as the biggest market. And I think from that end, it is worthwhile of South Africans and Africans in general to understand the architects, you know, developing or conceiving this kind of event so that they could put those in the context of the free trade agreement, which was signed back in 2018. Your advice to would-be listeners on this issue?
Look, you're touching on a very important subject. How do Africans begin to trade with one another? And this is something that is really close to my heart. And I believe that the Free Africa Trade Agreement creates an opportunity for African states to begin to not only recognize the different expertise that you get from different countries, but also how do we begin to beneficiate as Africans, you know, while we're dealing with one another. And I think China is an important partner, you know, in these discussions in a way, because remember, currently a lot of products are produced in China. So it talks to the same thing that we're talking about, is that how do we learn from Chinese so that we can be able to do some of the things on our own, you know? So I think on the subject of China, it still remains relevant in that way, you know? Although I do wish that one day we can definitely trade meaningfully as African states by reducing all the different barriers from tariffs to various other barriers that exist and that stop us as Africans from doing business with one another. I've had the pleasure of listening to Commissioner Wamkele Mene several times, you know, and some of the things that he keeps talking about, you know, are very relevant to this discussion, you know, which includes simple things like that block business owners from doing businesses with other African countries. You know, for instance, he was talking about the issue of visas, the complications that come with visas alone, you know, that some of the CEOs are expected by some countries to bring birth certificates, you know, to actually get to access the other country, you know, and he speaks about some transactions that have to be processed via the United States of America, you know, while Africans are trying to do business with one another, but the transaction must go via the US. So these are some of the things that maybe at some point, Nimrod, we should really discuss at length and see how do we begin to join this the discussions and make meaningful contribution in terms of eliminating these barriers and create a new narrative for African states and African businesses.
I couldn't agree with you more, Sakia. I could not agree with you more because these conversations are not separate. Even though the gist of our, you know, conversation today is about the Africa's largest China's sourcing event, and which brings in a number of entrepreneurs and associations for them to understand, first and foremost, the products and services that have been displayed and how to partner with the Chinese and how to take those products and continue doing business. Businesses in their own spaces, and you alluded to an individual that you came across who was interested in packaging, and by virtue of being there and realized the same, there's a value add because there are other machines or machinery which you could buy, you know, or use in her own space. So it's quite interesting that it's almost like a one-stop shop, and there are a lot of solutions that the trade is actually presenting. And I hope majority of SMMEs in the townships where the biggest need is are able to attend and able to see what sort of opportunities they can leverage off by first seeing and partnering with their counterparts from that end.
Yeah, no, definitely we open those opportunities. For instance, when we market the event, we make sure that we partner with local media, you know, in different townships around the country, because we believe that we should not limit access to these opportunities and these new technologies, only to your affluent sort of business areas, but to open it up, for the greater South African folk. And we believe that this is how we can grow, opening access and creating access for small and medium enterprises across the country.
Absolutely. On that note, we're going to take a quick break and come back just in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
We've weathered the unexpected. We've stepped into a new world. And now it is the time for our businesses to re-emerge. Sure-footed, clear-headed, and strategically on point. It is a time for greater certainty, for accurate, actionable market research and business intelligence to make effective, up-to-date decisions. South Africa, that is how we move our businesses and economy forward. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. We are talking about China Home Life Machine X Trade Show, which has entered its sixth edition in the continent. This is one fair that is quite interesting and in so many ways. And I'm joined by Saki Mabele, who is a CEO at Papasha Media, a lookout partner. And it's quite interesting what he had put forward as an incentive, added an incentive for a would-be entrepreneur who is keen to, see what is actually happening at that front. And I like, before we took that break, Saki indicated that there is a thinking or imagined thinking, which I would imagine at some point will come to fruition, in that these kinds of trade show should not be confined to affluent spaces. There has to be a guided, or there has to be a concerted effort to bring them to the townships where the greatest need is, because these kinds of trade shows are fundamentally about entrepreneurship. This is, in my mind, they aren't necessarily meant for, they're meant for people who are hungry and who sees opportunities. And township's economy is ripe with these kind of opportunities, because from a small machinery that could make it, a difference to a bigger machinery. So obviously the entry levels are quite vast and varied, but it is important that at some point there's a movement towards taking these initiatives to townships. I'm happy to hear that there's that kind of thinking, which will also dispel the myth that if you want something of quality, you come to suburban area.
Yes, no, indeed.
As we gravitate towards the end of the show, what will be your highlights for the trade show, Saki?
The theme for this year is actually focusing on the automotive sector, right? So we have a lot of suppliers who are in the automotive space. So these guys, they sell different things from bearings to rubbers and different components of like for vehicles, and also machinery to produce those components, and that's what I really enjoy about the show. And we've got many other industries. For instance, the lighting sector, we've got a lot of companies that have different types of lighting. And also, as you know, South Africa facing a serious energy crisis, as it were. And we have guys who have battery technologies from lithium batteries. I actually visited some of them today just to take a look. So South Africans can actually now begin to produce their own battery casings using the machines that are available at the show. And they can even purchase those casings, this is very exciting, Nimrod, in the sense that, remember that we do have natural resources in the country. And there's this narrative that we must begin to beneficiate here, which therefore means that we can buy some of the components from China, like the batteries, buy the casings, and then we can actually use our own resources after beneficiation to be able to do the to produce our own batteries, you know. So there's a lot of exciting things that are there at the show. There's consumer electronics, you know, there's electrical appliances, you know, and yeah, various things. So I encourage anyone who's interested in diversifying or even expanding their business to join the show and just get to see what's available there.
Absolutely. What are the requirements for entry? Take us through the process. Do I just pop in and come in, or register, or just take us through those details, please?
Yeah, so fortunately, the show is, the entry is free. This will help you not to stand in long queues. So you can, of course, go to chinahomelife.co.za to register. And then you will get an email with a QR code. So this is the QR code that you use to gain access into the event. So it's a fairly straightforward thing, really. You just put in a few details about who you are, and then you get the QR code.
Can you just maybe repeat the process, logging in process? Because we missed you just a bit there.
Oh, okay. So all you need to do is to visit the website, which is www.chinahomelife.co.za. And then as soon as you get there, I think on the front page, you'll find a short form that requires you to just fill in your details, and then you'll submit. It will send an email with a QR code to your email address, which you will use as a badge to access the event. So when you get to the event, you just go to the gates. They will scan that code and give you a badge. Then you can access all the different parts, all the different areas at the site. Yeah.
I think that's fair enough, Becky, my brother. Thank you very much for coming through, Saki. You have given us food for thought, and I sincerely hope that the listeners of the show will be eager to visit the Trade Center and see types of, especially those who are in the automotive sector. You've indicated it's automotive sector, lighting sector, you know, electronics. There's a whole lot of very interesting, you know, items that are on display. So I would sincerely encourage the listeners of this show to, you know, spare an hour or two to go to Galaga Estate, observe those kinds of products and services that are on display, and let's make a difference in the country. Saki, once again, thank you very much for coming through.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Nimrod. I'm looking forward to see your listeners at the show.
Absolutely. There we go. That was Saki Mabela, who is the CEO of Papasha Media, a local partner for the Africa's largest China sourcing event, which is taking place at Galaga Estate, Galaga Convention Center, beg your pardon, from the 15th to the 17th of November. He was giving us very interesting items that are on display, which I think will certainly benefit South Africa, particularly as we are turning the tide against the adverse impact of COVID. Let's do this again next week. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on board. Shalom.
We've weathered the unexpected. We've stepped into a new world. And now it is the time for our businesses to re-emerge. Sure-footed, clear-headed, and strategically on point. It is a time for greater certainty, for accurate, actionable market research and business intelligence to make effective, up-to-date decisions. South Africa, that is how we move our businesses and economy forward. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.